Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Don't you just feel better hearing it?
I mean,
no offense to, you know, ACC fans. I'm sure there are here, some here because of Syracuse. No offense to Big 12 fans, but come on. Now it feels like college football. The SEC is back this weekend. You look at the matchups on the schedule, and now you see, oh, look, ranked teams are playing. So we will continue taking your calls on the Bills and what you feel good about in the 2-0 start, what you're concerned with going into Game 3 Sunday. 803-0550. We have phone lines open. Love to hear from you. Talk Bills football with us. We'll get to the fantasy football at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to the Western Hotline right now. Bill Bender, Sporting News, joining us because the SEC's back. Maybe the Pac-12 will decide to come back. Mac fans here in town, we might be seeing UB football again this fall if the Mac votes this week in a return. Bill, it's Howard and Brayton. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. Good morning.
Yeah, Howard, and I'm a Mac grad too, so as an OU alum, hoping they get back on the field this fall in some fashion. We'll see if they do.
So like I said, no offense to the other Power Fives, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I have really not felt it was college football season yet. I've taken a peek every now and then. I'm looking at some games, but Saturday just doesn't feel the same. Now I begin to get that feeling with the SEC coming back this weekend.
That's fair. I mean, you get into it now, and obviously the SEC is back. There's, like you said, a lot of ranked games on the schedule. I think we have three matchups between ranked teams. The last 3 weeks felt a little bit like, week zero in a lot of ways. There was a game or two you'd dial into, but not like this weekend. And, I live right in the heart of Big Ten country, so it's just staggered. It's weird. There's going to be more cancellations. It's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I thought I saw the number was 20 or 21 games postponed. Notre Dame went on the list this week, Bill. So as you have watched this play out, I wasn't sure they were even going to be able to play any games this season in college football. How do you think it's gone to this point, handling the virus, getting the games, all that stuff that's happened?
Well, I mean, it's just going to have to come down to each week. I think six of the 15 teams in the ACC this year have had a game moved around or postponed. The SEC hasn't started. There's been, like you said, that laundry list of games that's gotten moved around. It makes for a lot of logistical hurdles. I think it's waiting to see until the end. How many games did every conference get in? It's not going to be equal. It's going to lead to some crazy playoff arguments if we get to the playoff, and then we'll have to go from there.
Yeah, you took one of my questions. Yeah, if you were on the CFP, if you're on the committee, how do you handle this? Because you will have leagues, you will have teams that aren't playing the same number of games. How does that all shake out when you're trying to figure out the four best teams?
Oh, we'll figure it out. I mean, we did this before the BCS where we split national titles, and you had all that the things that I try to explain to my 9-year-old son about split national titles between, Miami and Colorado and Nebraska and Michigan and USC and LSU, and then maybe there'll be some of that element to it. I think one of the things is going to be the number of games played and how many each conference does, and, we'll go from there. I still think it's not going to be that hard to figure out that Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma have pretty good teams.
Do you think, still on the CFP angle, do you think it is harder or easier when essentially we're talking mostly in-conference games. You're mostly playing against your own as opposed to some of the typical, the big marquee crossover matchups we might see in the month of September.
I think the SEC will probably crow about it the most because they're playing 10 and they have the toughest conference. I always judge. I don't judge conferences top to bottom typically. I more judge them on, okay, how many legitimate playoff caliber teams does this conference have, if that makes sense. And the SEC probably has five, maybe six. If you look at LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, I can picture any one of those five being in the playoff. The Big Ten has like one and a half, and the Big 12 has two, and the ACC has one, maybe two. So I think those are the arguments that come to play for me at the end, but I don't, you know, not everybody looks at it the way I do. That's what's so subjective about that process.
Bill Bender with us from Sporting News. So we know the SEC's coming back. We know the Big Ten's coming back. What's the latest on the Pac-12? We'll hear something this weekend, you think?
Sounds like it. Sounds like the MAC might get back in action. The Mountain West might try it, and they'll play abbreviated seasons as well. So I don't know how, but, you know, this is the whole argument. How would a 6-0 Oregon team stack up against the 7-1 Ohio State team versus a 10-1 Florida team? And these are the arguments we're going to have at the end of the year that are, they're going to be confusing. But, I mean, the way I've kind of looked at it is at least we'll be arguing about football at that point. And there's a long way to get there. And the biggest thing I'm worried about, obviously, is it just this trend of teams playing a game. Notre Dame, I'm not singling them out because other schools have had this happen too. They've played for 2 weeks. They had fans in the stands. And then 2 weeks later, they're not playing because of COVID cases. It's going to be really tough to regulate.
Yeah. I haven't been, you know, watching enough in terms of the whole how the games look and sound with limited number of fans. We've gone through it with the NHL, with no fans in the bubble and the NBA bubble, some NFL fans at a handful of stadiums. How do you think it has looked and sounded in the college football games that you've been watching?
I mean, it's all right. And I watched that week that Clemson played Wake and last week with Notre Dame and Louisville-Miami. I mean, it is what it is. I'm of the camp that I'm just not sure fans should be in the stands. I hate saying that because I know what a difference it makes on so many levels. I just think if you can have less people in there, there's less risk. And, you know, when it's a little bit safer and there are fewer risk to have fans in the stands, that's when I think you bring them back in. But that's just my opinion. I don't, you know, if these teams want to try to do that, that's on them. But there's just a lot going on with that.
So, final thing, you know, when we were talking about the CFP and the different number of games, and we're waiting here on the Pac-12, is there anybody worth mentioning in the CFP discussion from the Pac-12 this year?
I think Oregon will have a really good team, and they caught a break because they don't play Ohio State.
Yep.
You know, they've got Kayvon Thibodeau, Justin Flo on defense. Mario Cristobal's done a really good job recruiting. I think they would be the team to watch if they went 7-0. You know, last year they were a couple minutes away from beating Auburn, and then they lose at Arizona State, or they might have been in the playoff last year. That was a pretty good Oregon team that won the Rose Bowl. So I think they would be the one to watch if the Pac-12 gets back in the mix and maybe join that list, a group of teams that I told you earlier, with the usuals, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State monopoly.
So even though LSU, like half their team is in the NFL now, and their quarterback is gone, LSU still, well, what is LSU this year? Are they still a title contender?
I mean, they still have players. They've got a really good tight end that they're excited about. They've got maybe the best defensive player in the country in Derek Stingley, Jabril Cox, North Dakota State transfer. They've still got that 4- and 5-star talent, but I almost look at them as they got a little bit of a honeymoon, and I know they would never accept that at LSU, but coming off that team, like you said, all the coaching staff changes, all the players that went to the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase opted out. They're going to have their work cut out for them if they want to repeat. I don't think any national champion that I can remember has lost as much as they have.
Bill Bender joining us, talking a little college football. He is with the Sporting News. Bill, thanks for giving us some time on the show this morning, and enjoy all the games this weekend.
Yeah, Will, thanks for having me on. Let's do this again soon. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.